morning to you all. We welcome you on this Sunday, Labor Day weekend. We're glad that you're here. We've got a number of folks that are away traveling, so we want to pray for them. Lord, give safety and protection. In our call to worship today, we've been working our way through the Ephesians chapter 4, considering the theme of walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And we finally made it to the last verse, verse 32 of chapter 4. And it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." You know, the Bible has forever told us what the standard of forgiveness is. We don't have our own that we can supply. I'm afraid that ours would be very inferior. I've met a few people over my years of ministry that just had a real struggle with forgiveness. I remember a conversation I had with an individual that told me that about a situation that happened years before, and he said, if that person ever came up to me and asked me to forgive them, I wouldn't do it. And I said, that's an unbiblical attitude. Well, no, God doesn't expect. I said, oh, yes, He does. And I took him to this verse of Scripture. It says, "And be ye kind one to another." It doesn't say only be kind to those that were nice to you. Only be kind to those that smile when they talk to you. Only be kind to those that give you a gift card. All right? Then you can be kind to them. No, that's not what the Bible says. Don't put caveats on there. The Bible says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." That's the eternal biblical standard. So my excuses fall by the wayside when I realize that God has placed such a strong standard because He forgave me. He forgave me of my sin. On Calvary's tree, He forever took care of the sin debt of every human being. And through Jesus Christ, I can receive that forgiveness that was secured on Calvary's tree. And so, whenever we have a negative attitude towards somebody and we just feel like we just could never forgive them for what they said or what they did, you just remember what God did for you and His forgiveness of you. And all your meanness and all your nastiness and all the things you may have said in the past too, that's all under the blood of Jesus Christ. And He's forgiven you. And so that spirit of forgiveness is how the Apostle Paul concludes this theme, because it begins a brand new paragraph in the next verse, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And so he changes the subject from our walking worthy of vocation to following God. That's describing our walk. We're followers of God. And so I'm so thankful that the Lord encouraged us in this particular chapter to walk worthy of our vocation and then showed us how to do it. Amen? Showed us how to do it. It's one thing for somebody to tell you to go do a job and you have no idea how to do it. How many of you have ever been put in that spot before? Oh, yeah. I need you to go do this. Well, I've never done that before. Well, you can figure it out. You know, college boy, you know, you look at this big tractor and said, it's not going to go well. I don't know anything about it. Or I was asked to move one time a big tractor trailer rig. I didn't know how to drive it. And I told him, I said, I'm not moving that. I'm sorry. Well, you can figure it out. I said, people will die while I figure this out. All right? I'm not doing it unless you're going to show me. Well, God showed us, amen, how to walk worthy of the vocation. So now we don't have an excuse. We know what we need to do. Amen? May we be found walking worthy.
Good morning. I'm going to invite you, please, to take your hymnals, turn to 134. We'll sing together, "Blessed Calvary," page 134. Stand with me, please, when you found your place.
I look at the cross upon Calvary, and oh, what a wonder divine, to think of the wealth it holds for me. The riches of heaven are mine. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, 'neath a shadow I'll ever abide. blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, 'twas there Jesus suffered and died. I find at the cross blessed victory and grace for each step of the way. The fount of God's love is flowing free, the sweeter it grows day by day. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, 'neath thy shadow I'll ever abide. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, 'twas there Jesus suffered and died.
Sing it out on that last.
The cross is my hope for eternity. No merit have I of my own. The shed blood of Christ, my only plea. My trust is in Jesus alone. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, 'neath thy shadow I'll ever abide. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, 'twas there Jesus suffered and died.
Amen. Please remain standing for prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for who you are. You're the Almighty God of the universe. And God, we have the privilege of knowing you and worshiping you. And what an awesome thought that is. We fall way short, Lord. We sin, we cheat, we grieve you, God, even as born-again Christians. And yet you love us and you forgive. You treasure us. You take care of us. God, we owe everything to you. You will never fail us. You will never leave us. You will never turn from us. And God, help us to know that and trust that and have victory in our minds and our hearts for the truth that God will never forsake us. Father, we think of this church. Thank you for its history, its foundations here in this area. And I just pray you continue to bless and use this ministry. Be with our pastor. Be with Dr. Watt and all the staff and the workers here. And God, we just pray that you use them to see folks saved, to see this community blessed by this ministry. And I just pray you continue to have your hand here, Lord. And we do pray for those that are out of town. Give them travel mercies. Think of those that are ill and other needs that we have in our church. Just pray you be there and be with them. And God, we just thank you so much. Pray you bless the rest of the service today. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As you're being seated, please turn over to 143 next. 143, we'll sing Thine Be the Glory. We'll sing the first and the last verses of 143.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Could you please take your hymnals next and turn to 220? 220, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. We'll sing all three verses of 220.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found him in a friend so strong and true. I will tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend would do. No one ever cared for me.
taking a break today from our study that we've been doing on the life of Joseph, and I'd like for you to turn, please, to the book of Jude, to the book of Jude, and we're going to look at one verse of Scripture today. The title of my message is Trees or Posts? Trees or Posts? I enjoy reading biographies of great Christians, great preachers, and one of my heroes of the faith is a man by the name of Amzie Clarence Dixon. I don't know if I've ever heard that first name, Amzie, before. A-M-Z-I was his name. He was born in Shelby, North Carolina. It was abbreviated A.C. Dixon. Became a powerful preacher of the gospel. His father was a preacher for many, many years and had pastored many churches in the North Carolina region. A.C. went to school and then became a preacher who preached in several different locations around the world. He had preached in Boston, pastored a church there, Baltimore, Maryland, Chicago, even London, where he pastored C.H. Spurgeon's church after his passing. And just a tremendous man of God. And he said this in London. This was recorded by the Metropolitan Tabernacle and was posted in the newspaper, which they traditionally had done for many, many years during the ministry of C.H. Spurgeon. And he said this, "Every church congregation is divided into saved and unsaved." And he went on to say, "I call them trees and posts. When you put a tree in the ground, it begins to grow. When you stick a post in the ground, it begins to rot. Pastors have a delightful time watching trees grow, but it is a sad business watching posts decay." I had a beautiful PowerPoint that I was going to show you this morning, but thanks to technology and issues, I wasn't able to show that. But I had a beautiful tree from Mobile, Alabama. I have a picture of it in downtown Mobile. It's one of the oldest oaks right there on Government Street. Beautiful, beautiful tree. It's estimated somewhere between 300 and 500 years of age. And I had an old fence post pictured beside it. And the old fence post was twisted and turned with years, rotting. And it was holding up what was left of an old barbed wire fence. And I couldn't help but think, as I read those words years ago, whenever I was reading the life of A.C. Dixon and wrote down that illustration, it aptly describes the unsaved and the saved. The saved are those that are trees that are planted in the soil of the foundation of Jesus Christ, and they're growing. Amen? They're growing. You look at that tree that I had pictured. If you've ever been on Government Street in Mobile, Alabama, no doubt you've seen that huge, huge oak tree that's there, not too far from the government buildings located there. And it has long branches that go out, and then they work their way down to the ground. You've seen how live oaks will rest their limbs on the ground, and they grow upward. They're just absolutely beautiful, full of life, full of green leaves during this time of the year. And, you know, they're alive. They're living. And then you look at a post. A post used to be alive. The example is not completely perfect, by the way, but it's a good one. I grew up doing a lot of work in the yard, in the garden. And I, as a teenager, did a lot of work helping out on campus here. And one of the things that we had to do was put up fences. Years ago, in 1986, we put up a whole series of posts, which is now chain link fence out there along the road, and with rope across it. And that was to make sure that people didn't pull their cars across the road into the ballpark area. Our program was growing at that time, and we had more cars and people wanted to park right next to the field, which they were used to doing, and we had to stop that and say, no, 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 you got to park in the parking lot. So it was my job to put in the fence posts. So I did that. And about 11 years later, most of those posts were rotted. Many of them were falling over. And I told Dr. Hobbs, I said, Dr. Hobbs, we really need to put up a chain link fence with multiple entrance ways all along that area. And he said, all right, let's do it. And so we made that a major summer project, getting all that chain link so it was completely blocked off. No cars could be in there driving it among the kids and so forth like that. But I would walk along and I would go and pull up a post, and half of it would be down in the hole and the other half was up at the top. It had rotted in half right there at the water line, where water would sit a lot of times at those posts, and they just rotted down and were worthless. Now, they served a purpose for a little while. It held rope that was all attached across there, and people had to step over it if they were going, but you couldn't drive through that area. But over time, it rotted down. I want to bring you a message from verse 20 of Jude. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd open our hearts today to the worth of your word, and specifically the worth of this verse of Scripture that was given many, many years ago, but it still is applicable to our hearts today through the power of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would be found to be trees and not posts. I pray that you would teach us today from your word, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there is nothing more beautiful than a healthy, growing tree. When I moved to our property, I bought it from my next door neighbor in 1998. And on that property, there were at least a dozen pear trees. And I was so excited. There were blueberry bushes, there were pear trees, there was grapevines, muscadon vines. I was really excited. I was going to have a mini version of Dr. Hobbs' yard. And I was really excited about that. Matter of fact, he came over and gave me all kinds of pointers about how to work with the pear trees and be able to produce fruit. And the first couple of years there, I had some beautiful, beautiful pears. And then we had what was known as the black blight that came, and it hit every one of my pear trees, killed every one of them. The leaves started turning black and curling up, and there was nothing that I could do for it, and I lost every one of my pear trees. And I was so disappointed, because in full bloom, a pear tree is beautiful. And whenever a pear tree is loaded with pears, it's a beautiful thing. You see those things just hanging over, just heavy with pears. And going out there, my son Greg was little at the time, and I don't, he can't remember, I'm sure, but he picking pears. And we would go out there, and we would gather them up, and I'd go put them in a dark place for a while, let them mature, and we'd peel them and make pies and all kinds of good stuff. And then I had to go out there and cut them down. It stopped being beautiful. When they died, all the leaves turned black and fell off. And all I had was a stalk there. I had read some books that said that usually after black blight, the best thing to do is to cut them down and burn them. That way the blight is destroyed, and you might be able to potentially replant sometime in the future and be able to have another crop. But I remember going out there with my handsaw. I had a pruning saw, and I went out there and I cut that thing down. That thing that I had driven spikes, fertilizer spikes around for 3 years. Boy, just watching that thing grow, get bigger, pruning it and trimming it, getting it ready for the next year that I was going to have fruit. But it was ugly now. It was just a dead stalk of a pear tree. I had to cut it down. Over the years, I've had to cut a lot of trees down. Hurricane Ivan took down several of my pine trees. Thankfully, they all fell away from the house instead of on the house. That was just the Lord's doing. But I love trees. I love trees. And a well-manicured tree, if they're smaller, are beautiful things to behold. But I think probably the most beautiful thing is a live oak. And having grown up in the South and been around live oaks all of my life, you know, there's scrub oaks. How many of you have a scrub oak in your yard? Anybody know what a scrub oak is? All right. To me, they're not very pretty. They're ugly. They've got the ugliest leaves, and the bark on it is not that pretty. That's why they call them a scrub oak. The animals would come and rub on them, deer, bear, whatever, because the oak, the bark on the scrub oak is very, I don't know how to put it, it's very sharp, all right? And animals like to rub up against it because it feels good. But other than that, scrub oaks are just not that pretty. We have water oaks. Now, water oaks can get pretty good size, but they don't have the same bark as a live oak tree. We had a bunch of water oaks in our yard, and we built all kinds of tree houses in them. I used to climb to the very top. I could see Blackwater River from the top of the water oak that we had in our yard. The live oaks, though, had a tendency to spread out, not quite get so tall, but just spread out, and those big old limbs would hang out. There's just something beautiful about that, because even though it's old, it's what? It's alive. It's beautiful. It's alive. It's alive. You know, your heart's always saddened when you have to see a live oak be taken down. I know there's been a lot of battles in this area over people that wanted to take down a live oak to build a house or whatever. And I'm not going to get into all the politics of that. But you know, a beautiful live oak that's been around for hundreds of years, there's something memorable about that. When I was a kid too, we often went down to Florida Town, where my dad had lived whenever he'd first moved to Florida. And right down the road was an old park that was built by the old Escambia Chemical Company, and which became Air Products and then became another name, and I don't know what it is now. But Escambia Chemical had a park that they had built, and they had swings, and it was right on the water there, but it had giant, giant oak trees with moss hanging out of them. The old South look, you know. You're expecting, you know, somebody on horseback to ride up to go up to the mansion that was there, you know, an old antebellum home that might be located nearby. But the old moss hanging from it. I learned a lesson, though, about moss. Anybody know what lives in moss in Florida? Yeah, red bugs. We called them chiggers growing up. All right, chiggers. Boy, when they get on you, they bite. And it hurts. But they love moss. They love to live in moss. And as kids, you know, you'd go pull it out of the trees, and the next thing you know, you had them in there. Boy, they were just biting away on you. And we learned, don't mess with the moss. Moss is not part of the oak tree. It is something that grows on the bark, but it gets its sustenance from the live oak tree. Now, moss can be considered beautiful or it can be considered ugly. It just depends on your... how many Northerners moved down here and thought moss was ugly? Anybody? You don't want to raise your hand. I understand. Yeah, we're not going to meet you out in the parking lot. We're not going to do anything like that. But, you know, moss in the South, it's just something that speaks of age. All right? But a beautiful oak tree, like those oaks that were at that park, that went all the way down to the ground and rested on the ground, and then their branches would grow over. They're just beautiful to me. As a kid, I still have them in my brain. Those beautiful live oak trees. They're alive. They speak of something going on down under the soil. There's an exchange taking place. There's an exchange because there's roots that are just as deep as what you see above. They're stretched out for yards and yards and yards and dozens of yards out there, and it's just soaking up water and nutrients from the soil and bringing it all the way up to the very tippy top of the tree so that everything benefits. Because you see, that's what life is. Life has a work that's going on, a Christian life has a work that goes on unseen many times. It's the presence of God's Holy Spirit within. There's also posts. Now, A.C. Dixon, when he said that, he said, a post is not alive. It used to be alive, but it's not alive now. It was cut down, cut into posts, and they used them. They dug a hole, stuck it down inside that hole, and they put wire on it. Many of you remember the stories of Abraham Lincoln, who used to split logs, and they used to make fences, the zigzag pattern fences that would be stacked upon each other, and those things. But, you know, over time, what happens to those logs? They rot. They're not beautiful anymore. I built several years ago when we first moved there, I built a pen for one of our dogs. It never held the dog, but it made me feel better. I built it out of wood. This year, back in the spring, I had to tear it all down. It had rotted. Over 22 years, it stood there. And we had put pets back there from time to time when we had to go away or whatever. We'd lock them up in there and then we'd feed them and so forth like that. Somebody would come over and take care of them. But, you know, the purpose of that was to keep something in, but then it stopped doing that purpose because boards rotted off, decayed. Now, that image that I'm putting in your mind right now of something alive, a live oak tree, and then a post stuck in the ground just to hold up a fence, mark a barrier. When that post goes in the ground, it begins a long process of decay and rot until finally it falls over. And it's useless. You can't use it anymore. I want us to look at this verse of Scripture here in Jude, this little letter that was written to encourage our hearts, but also to warn us. But ye, now notice a conjunction of contrast. What has just gone on before? Well, look at verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. Mockers. What does a mocker do? What is the state bird of Florida? Does anybody know? The mockingbird. Boy, there's smart people here today. That's great. State bird is the mockingbird. How did it get its name? What's that? It mocks. All right? It doesn't talk to you and say, "That's an ugly jacket you have on today." No, it doesn't do that. To mock means to imitate. The mockingbird is equipped, God gave it, multiple reeds in its throat. And it can mimic just about every bird in the state of Florida. You'll hear them out here. And they're just going at it. They'll go from one song to the next song to another song. And they're imitating different birds and so forth like that. And you'll think, oh, wow, we've got a whole yard full of different kinds of birds. You don't. You just have one mockingbird that's mimicking all the other birds. Now, mockingbirds are very proud of their skills. You ever watched a mockingbird? Whenever they're up on a telephone pole and they're just going, they're very straight and erect. They have long legs, and they sit up there and then they start making all their imitation sound. I'm not going to do that for you because I don't have a voice to do that. But they're just up there doing their thing. What is a mockingbird's actual sound? Scientists say they don't have an actual sound. They just mimic everybody else. They don't have their own sound. Now, you know what the sound of a turkey is, right? All right. Turkeys make a unique sound. I used to be able to do it. I don't know if I can do it now or not because the pressure's on right now. But you know what a turkey sounds like, right? And you've never heard a sparrow make a turkey sound. Anybody ever heard a sparrow make a turkey sound? All right. If you do, would you please record it? Because you can make a lot of money with that. A sparrow walking around and making a gobbler sound. They just don't do it. A sparrow has its own sound. A thrush has its own sound. Crows, don't you love them? Is that they just laugh at you. I love them during baseball season because they clean up for us. People drop their French fries and their hamburgers. Kids drop their stuff out there. And the next day, our Our campus has crows everywhere. And they're out there and they're just having the best time of their life. They're having hamburgers and cheeseburgers and french fries and chili cheese fries and nachos. They're just loving life and out there. Ah! Ah! But that's all they do. That's all they do. They have their own unique sound. But not the mockingbird. The mockingbird just mimics what all the other birds are doing. Now, what's the point that I'm trying to make here? In the last days, the Bible says there's going to be many mockers. Notice the language on here, back here at verse 17. Remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there should be mockers in the last time. Mockers, imitators, people who imitate. They mimic. They know the right things to say, but they really don't believe what they're saying. That's the difference. They know the right things to do, but in reality, they don't really want to do those things. They want to be doing something else. The Bible warns us of those. And as he develops this thought here through this passage leading up to verse 20, he says, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. They're pursuing something else. They're not pursuing with passion godly desires, but rather they are pursuing ungodly desires. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not what? The Spirit. You see, the old fence post, you dig a hole and you stick it down in there and you pack the dirt around it. That post has no life. No longer is there water and nutrients coursing through its cambium, taking it up to the top of the tree. Not anymore. That's all ceased. All those living veins that used to carry water are now dried and closed on themselves, and they no longer can do that. All it can do is soak in water, and it sits and begins the long process of rot. Now, you can find a very lovely post, okay? Disney has made a whole practice of making trees and posts and limbs and so forth like that, and they look real, but they're what? They're fake. They make them out of plaster, they make them out of metal, or make them out of something like that, and they have all these things all over their campus, and they don't have to water them. They don't have to worry about, you know, them not getting enough water because they're not real. A person without the Spirit is nothing more than a post. I want to read again what A.C. Dixon said. As a pastor who had pastored for many, many years, he said this, every church congregation is divided into saved and unsaved. I call them trees and posts. When you put a tree in the ground, it begins to grow. When you stick a post in the ground, it begins to rot. Pastors have a delightful time watching trees grow, but it is a sad business watching posts decay. The first thing that happens over time is the post begins to twist. And that's caused by absorption of water, freezing if it's in the winter months, drying out in the hot sun, and the sinew of the old wood begins to twist and turn. All right? You've all seen that, a board warping. All right? It begins to twist and turn. Before long, that straight post is no longer straight. 4x4 posts, you have to watch out for them. As they dry out, they begin to twist and turn, and they begin to buckle, and before long, you got to replace it because it's now pulling down on something it shouldn't be pulling down on. You have to watch that. That process of decay is a bad thing. It changes. It changes the post. from its useful purpose at one time to now not useful at all. But ye, conjunction of contrast. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Christian possesses the person of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The moment you came to faith in Jesus Christ, God gave you His Holy Spirit to indwell your body. The Bible pictures this over and over again, of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit has brought life to you. Spiritual life. Eternal life, by the way. You don't get eternal life when you die. You get eternal life the moment you trust in Jesus Christ. Because you have the person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, living within you. The Spirit, He's called, of life. And as you are planted in the foundational soil of Jesus Christ, the first thing you notice is growth. Growth. Life. My dad taught us when we were growing up how to plant African violets. My dad loves African violets. He's always had them in his windows while we were growing up. And he taught us how to do it. And there's a process of clipping the leaf off of that and putting it into... It was a dust-like substance that you used to have that you put on there that kept it from rotting in the soil. Kept it from rotting and provided nutrients when you put it down in the soil. And before long, after a month or so, you would see all these little African violet leaves start growing. And before long, a shoot would go up with a beautiful flower, depending upon its variety. The variegated variety was always my favorite. I love the purple ones. I love the blue ones. There were all kinds of different colors and so forth. And we would always, you know, when you cut the leaf on a variegated one and you planted it, what did you get? You got the variegated one. You didn't get another color, right? You didn't get another color. Now, the point that Paul is making here is that you and I have a responsibility to grow. To grow. Notice the language here in verse 20. Building up yourselves. Building up yourselves? Yes, it is a work of God, but there's also the intentional activity of the believer involved in the building up process. The growing process. That word build is the idea of edification, that building up. An edifice is something that is built. Edification is the process of the building. I was walking in the yard yesterday, in the backyard, and we have back there a playhouse that I built for the kids way back in 2000. It's still strong. Preston likes to climb the ladder and get up in there. He likes to play in the playhouse in there. And we had a little table and all kinds of stuff in there and it's just fun to be in, you know. Sit in a chair in the playhouse and so forth. We don't want to jump out of the playhouse, though, because that would be hurtful. You'd be a broke leg or something. But it's up about, you know, 6 feet in the air. And it's got a nice platform on it with shelves and so forth like that, and a little stairwell to get up into it. But you know what's happening at the bottom of the playhouse now? It's rotting. Now, the 4x4 posts are still pretty good, but all my little footer stuff that I'd put around it is starting to rot. Pressure-treated lumber. It lasted 22 years, but I know what's happening. And eventually, that house with all of its memories of the kids playing in it growing up will be in the back of a trailer heading to the dump because it's decaying. It's rotting. It doesn't have the same kind of life and beauty, does it? You see, Christian, when you purposefully get into God's Word and feed your soul, you're bringing in the fertilizer of God's Word to stimulate growth in your Christian life. Are you doing that? Are you doing that faithfully? As you drink in the water of life, the cells of your spiritual body are replenished and They're healthy. Are you taking in the water of life, Jesus Christ? You see, this is intentional. Build up yourselves. Now, I don't have to go out and talk to my live oak tree that I have in my backyard. I don't have to give pep talks. I don't have to go out there and sit in a chair and say, "All right, Mr. Live Oak Tree, roots, are you listening? Listen up. I know you're down there deep, but you listen up. You grow today. We got rain coming. And I want you to stretch out another foot or so of your root capacity, and I want you to drink it in so you grow today." I don't have to do that. As a matter of fact, if you saw me in my backyard doing that, you'd be picking up the cell phone and saying, "My neighbor has lost his mind. He's out there talking to the roots of his live oak tree. Something's not right." And then the paddy wagon comes with the men in the white coats, and I get to go to Chattahoochee, Florida. Chattahoochee is where we have our state mental institution, for those that are not familiar with it. And that's probably where I'm going to be someday. I don't know. But my point is this. I don't have to sit there and talk to the roots of the tree to do their job. They do it because God put it into it to do that. If you don't have that desire to build yourself up, if you don't have a desire to drink in the water of life, if you don't have a desire to devour the bread of life and receive the nutrients that your spiritual life needs, maybe you're not a tree, maybe you're a what? A post. This message is more of a warning to us all. Paul said, "I examine myself." And he told the Corinthian believers, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." In other words, test yourself. Are you drinking? Do you desire to drink in the water of life? Do you desire to feed on the bread of life? If you don't, then maybe you don't have that life within. You know, it's one thing about children. And, you know, whenever you have your own children and they all grow up and leave, and then all of a sudden you have a grandson, right? You're reminded about all those days that were past, right? And whenever he gets hungry, he lets us know. He's hungry. He's ready to eat. "Preston, are you ready to eat?" "Yes, sir." "Ready to eat." And you know what he does? He doesn't just stand there looking at me. He runs to his high chair. Okay? Now, why would he run to his high chair? Because that's where he eats. And he starts climbing. He's ready. We pull the top off, put him in there, lock him in, and he's ready. He's waiting for Mimi to bring his food, or Poppy, or whoever's there at the time. He's ready to eat. Let me ask you something. Are you running to the table of God's provision to devour it, or can you live without it? As a pastor, my burden is never to take anything for granted. If there is no passion, if there is no intentional desire to feed myself in the Word of God, something is desperately wrong. Either I'm very sick spiritually, or I'm dead. I'm either a tree, or I'm either a post. And Jude makes this point. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's an important aspect. I'm not going into the other verses there. There are many other things that are listed there, but the Holy Spirit is the giver of life. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God is the giver of life. And as He's given life, I know that I need to talk to my Heavenly Father. That's one of the signs that you're alive in Jesus Christ. Are you talking with the Heavenly Father? You communicating in prayer? Is there a heart desire within you to talk to my Lord and to bring praise to His name and glorify His name and thank Him and tell Him that you love Him, but also bring those requests to Him as you intercede for others. Is there a desire there? If the Holy Spirit is there, there's going to be life. There's going to be life. I want to encourage all of us today to examine. Are we like a live oak tree growing? It may be quiet work, like the works of a root. You don't hear any noise coming up out of the soil. You don't hear, as the root continues to grow and expand, the pushing of the soil as it's working its way through and sending it out. You don't hear that, but it's going on. Amen? It's going on. Because that tree out there is alive. It's got green leaves. It's showing us that it is alive. That big old live oak tree on the playground that's been through every major hurricane since it first was planted. It has stood the test. It's been an amazing thing to watch over the years. We've had hundreds and hundreds of pine trees fall over, and that one tree just staying right there, straight and strong, because it's alive. Are you a tree today, or are you a post? Are you alive, or are you dead? If you're dead this morning, you can come to faith in Jesus Christ and be made alive. Amen? You can be transformed and you can be given life by the Holy Spirit of God. All you have to do is call upon His blessed name. Repent and believe, Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says, the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 16, and thou shalt be saved. You can have life more abundant. You can have the life that God's Holy Spirit brings. But you got to know whether you're a post or a tree. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the living Word of God. I thank you that you supply your Holy Spirit the moment that a person trusts in thee. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you might help us all to examine ourselves. There are some that are like the mockingbird. They just mimic those that they're with. But there's no real substance to that. They don't have their own voice planted by Jesus Christ. You've told us in Psalm 40 that you give us a new song, even a praise unto thy name, the moment we come to faith in Christ. Lord, I pray that you do a work in our hearts today. There may be one or two or maybe more that are without Jesus Christ today, have no knowledge and possession of life eternal, spiritual life. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do a work of conviction in their heart to draw them unto yourself, that they would no longer be a post, but would be transformed into a living tree to bring praise and glory to your precious and holy name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Men, take your hymnals, please, and turn to 221. 221, Christ is all I need. We'll sing both verses. They go well together. So stand with me, please, when you found your place on 221, both verses.
Christ is all.
This day that you've given us, the opportunity that we have to come together and worship you and hear a message from your word. We thank you for the word that was preached this morning, and we pray that we would take these things to heart, that each one of us would examine our lives, not only just to see if we are a post or a tree, whether or not we're dead or alive, but Lord, that we would search our lives and see whether or not we are growing and adding to the precious faith you've given us, according to 2 Peter. Father, we pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, that they would come to you in repentance and in faith and accept you as their Savior. We love you. We pray that you'd be with us as we go our separate ways. Please bring us back again safely tonight to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.